This is the Intellectual Society Podcast, episode 2. We're back.
Back
at it again. We're in a new location this time. We're at the new spot deep in Bowie, Maryland. We're Liddy. We're really Liddy in the skitty. We're 5 minutes from Bowie Town Center. But we're back. We've taken everybody's feedback into account. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, thank you all for listening, reaching
subscribing.
Out. Feedback has been amazing.
Constructive feedback.
And everyone who wants to come on the show now. Thank you, guys.
We're going to get all y'all on the calendar, on the schedule. We're going to continue to evolve and do new and exciting things each and every time. So what you been up to, Jasmine?
Tell us what's been up. Nothing. I've been real chill the past, what's it been, a month?
Yeah, it's been about a month.
So I've been real, you know, chill. Work's over for the year so far.
School's out for summer.
Woo! But other than that, I've been real chill. I started grad school. I don't think I had started.
I think you were like preparing.
Yeah. So I'm about a month in. Mm-hmm. Shout out to me. Because I have 100% in both my classes.
Excuse me.
Because those things are not easy.
I'm sure.
You know, I had to write a paper the other week.
Did you take my advice?
I did. But let me tell you, I had to write a paper. And it had to be on like why an ethnic group literature isn't displayed in schools.
Interesting.
So I'm talking about why black literature isn't in schools, and I'm trying not to sound like a racist while I'm writing this paper. But it was real good.
Why not sound like a racist?
Because, you know, most children's books that have black characters are written by white women.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to talk about that in the paper. Mm. It got kind of deep.
Okay.
Got kind of deep, but that's my life right now. What about you?
Girl.
Miss, I have 2 degrees.
Yes. 2 degrees. Got a new spot. We in Bowie now.
Yes, she's
PG
moved.
Chilling.
Changed the location.
Work is still popping. Podcast is popping. Trying to get the business up and going. We got to focus on that now that the move is over.
Listen, I'm gonna say, if anyone tells you you can't buy a house in less than a month, come reach out to Kayla
in 45 days.
Come reach out
if you need help with the home buying process. I went through a ringer with this one, so any which way it can go, I
can
help
you real quick. If they tell you it takes a year, don't listen to them.
We got it done by the grace of God. Hallelujah.
It is a beautiful home.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. So, there's a lot going on in there.
Too much. There's always so much going on around here in the world. It's just not with it. So,
one of the things we wanted to talk about this week, which is hot in the news, I think we all know what's going on down at the Mexican border.
So, I think everyone is aware that Donald Trump and the government has decided they want to separate, we're going to use the word that they use, separate children from their parents. I call it kidnapping these children away from their parents. How do you put a child on a plane who doesn't speak English and just wherever they go is where they go? I just can't get over that part. That's the part that's doing the most for me. You just taking babies, like 8-month-old babies who are possibly breastfed, away from their parents. Forget all the legalities, because you know how the government is. They make up their own laws as they go.
Right.
I just don't see how a person could do that. That's my thing. That's my hang up. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's two parts to it. Yesterday I was at work. I was trying to understand the policy, because everybody's saying, well, this was happening during the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, Obama administration. Now it's happening now.
I can see that, actually.
I can, too. But I was just trying to understand what is the difference in the policy now as opposed to then? Or has this been going on all along? And it's just now it's just magnified based upon the times.
From what I've been able to understand, I think it has been happening the whole time. But I think that Trump had did something with, like, 100% zero tolerance policy, that no matter what, your child was taken away from you. No matter where you were, no matter how old the baby was, no matter what, your child was taken. So I think that's the thing that's different. I don't understand it either, because I was thinking, okay, so if we've had Border Patrol for however long we've had it for, what have they been doing before? Like, what was their policies before we've all been introduced to this new agenda as of this week? Like, what was happening prior to this week? I don't know. But I think they've probably been taking these kids in these families.
I think so too. And probably just because of the new zero tolerance policy, mm-hmm. it's just been magnified.
And I saw that on TV, it was a reporter, and he had found out where they were housing specific kids, and he took a news crew there. And I think that's what blew the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like they've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they would reunite the parent and the child after that whole 20 days that they could hold you for. But
I feel like with this one, and you said this yesterday on Instagram, this is going to be different because it's so many kids and it's so many adults. These kids will never see their parents again.
No.
Ever.
Unless they did something like you do at a hospital. I had saw someone said that. Maybe they gave them like wristbands. That has, but could you imagine them going through that? No, because I literally imagine them just taking that child.
They've got National Guard there. They've got all these people there, and these people, a lot of them don't speak any English. They're undocumented. They're not registering them properly. These kids don't even have names. Mm-hmm. They probably are baby X.
Exactly.
I
doubt they have a computer that's like
registering this child as X, Y, and Z.
And then they just put them on a plane.
Right. And then who knows? They're probably selling them to the highest bidder.
That's what I think.
Either domestically or abroad. And then these kids will never see their parents again.
I don't know why people kind of say that slavery is over. Slavery is not over. Slavery has never ended.
Never gone anywhere.
And the United States is known for doing this kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's not new. So I hope people don't make it seem like because we don't sell people off the way that we do, mm-hmm. there's ways. And I definitely see these kids being shipped off to other countries and other people. And think about what happens to kids who are in foster care and how they're treated. Mm-hmm. Imagine now these undocumented kids. Like you have no one to hold you responsible in any aspect.
No one's accountable. Because if you think about it, if they're not registered or they're not citizens, they're not documented, nobody has to take care of them. Because technically, they mm-hmm. don't even exist.
Technically, right? So one minute you can have a child living in your home, and then someone can say, oh, what happened to that child? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no child. Like, there's no proof that these kids exist.
That is so sad.
And they're babies.
I know.
Babies.
Can't speak up for themselves.
No. And I did read an article about how one of the babies was molested.
Yeah,
and
I read that too. Four years old.
And that hit home because both of us have 5-year-olds.
Right.
So I had that visual of my daughter in that camp. Because this is called what it is, right?
Yeah,
they're calling it detention centers.
Girl.
Infant. They are concentration camps. We've done this before, mm-hmm. right? We did it with the Japanese in America. Mm-hmm. Please know your history. This is not something that America has never done before. That's why they was able to implement it so quickly. Mm-hmm. Probably because they've never stopped.
Exactly.
So,
but then the question comes to my mind, because I'm always in the back of my mind thinking about contingency plans. Mm. What's our exit strategy? What's our safe spot? And I'm just thinking, because I work in downtown DC, downtown, like I'm right in the mix of it. And Jay's out here in Maryland. And I'm always thinking about, okay, what can I do? What's our contingency plan? Me and her dad talk about, you know, what's the best course of action to get to her in the midst of something crazy. And you just think about, you know, what's next? What's next? These people are liable to do anything. And being black, we all know that, you know, blacks are next. You know, not to say it's coming tomorrow, but this, you know, this is just could be a precursor of what's to come. Not to, you know, speak in doom and gloom.
But no,
you have to look at the climate.
The points you're making are really logical, especially because we both work in DC.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's one of the major points of where they're going to hit. Mm-hmm. Right. I hate to use the word terrorist because I don't like that term because you're only so a terrorist loaded. In the eyes of the person that's committing a terror against. But the United States are also terrorists if we want to be completely open and honest. And I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but we are, because the same way that we get scared somebody bombing us, we continue to bomb other countries mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Please read international news because if you only stick to MSNBC and CNN. And they're Fox only News. Going to tell you the agendas that they have laid out. Please listen to international mm-hmm. news so you can see how often the United States mm-hmm. actually bombs and kills other people mm-hmm. and children.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, but back to the thing, like, what do you do as a parent who lives in one of the major cities in the United States?
Well, I know I'm looking for opportunities to come on home. work from home. That's what I'm looking to do, because I need to be, you know, no more than 15, 20 minutes from away from my kid at all times. But for people who don't, you know, a lot of people don't have that option. But
and my daughter goes to school in D.C.
Exactly.
So
it's kind of like, what do? You got to, you know, is there some type of plan you can put in action? A lot of families I know have like emergency plans, being in D.C. or not, you know.
You need the
Safeguards in place, family members on call.
Yeah, see, this is why me and Amaya's dad got to be friends, because we all, well, not we all we got, but for Amaya, that's all we got. So mm-hmm. we got to figure it out. But yeah. He had mentioned something like that mm-hmm. to me before. Like, yeah. if anything happened, what's the plan? What's that's to right. do? And that's real, because that's you got to remember where we are mm-hmm. and yeah. that this place is not safe.
You know what? I have somebody in mind who is an expert in all things emergency planning, so maybe we can get him on the show.
Okay. I'm with it.
Let me give him a call. He's the wizard.
I love to have men on the show.
Okay.
So okay,
he's
sorry.
Older and married. Calm
oh, man. Guess I have to sit down on that one, but...
That's a conversation. That's a conversation.
If you are single and available, I am too. So hit up the Instagram. No, I'm just joking. Please don't send me a DM.
So
No. We have, don't you dare send me a personal DM at Intellectual Society Podcast. Hit us up on Instagram.
Oh my God.
All right, sorry, sidebar.
But yeah, that's something we need to, as families, we need to come together, especially Black families, we need to come together and have that conversation.
It's like we're scared to have these conversations. We're scared to have a conversation that has any depth with our family members.
Ooh.
Like, I know that's a completely different side note, but we are scared as people to have conversations with parents or family members. Mm-hmm. Like, why is everything so hard when it comes to communication for Black people? It's ridiculous.
Do you think it's Black people, or do you think it's just people in general?
I don't know, because I really don't associate myself with a lot of other people. So I'm just saying, all I know is Black folks. And from what I see, we struggle a lot with being open with family members, friends. And when we are open, it's not like everything comes out so abrasive, and we don't know how to speak nicely to each other. That's I don't know. True. That's just a little...
I mean, to a certain extent. I know when it comes to things of like preparation, even when it comes to death and stuff like that, you know, we're the first ones to put up a GoFundMe when somebody dies because they didn't have life insurance.
Please do that. Please have life insurance.
And you know what? You can get policies. They really don't cost that much.
They might be like $5 a month. Some of them as the lowest you can go. But
if you need some, we can, you know what? Hit us up on
Intellectual Society Podcast. Thank you.
.com.
I thought we were going back and forth. She didn't know that. So next time.
I got a nice financial advisor before you can get you a policy in 21 days.
Like, I know we're laughing, but you never know what can happen. And you putting up a GoFundMe isn't going to last anymore. Because people are looking at them and they're like, really?
Leave something. So if you're not going to leave your kids any money, at least take care of your burial expenses.
And know how much that stuff costs firsthand before you stop laughing at me. Before you go get a policy that's only like $20,000, because that's not going to cover a funeral. And I hate to say it, but funerals are expensive. Plots are expensive. Headstones, if you really want one, those things are expensive. Mm-hmm. I know that's side note. That's a real sidebar. You know what?
We gonna get my financial advisor Leroy on the show too. We got a long list. His name is Mr. Miles.
I love Leroy Miles.
That's my man.
That ain't the most nice Black name. That's like a strong Black man.
He's the nicest man, and he knows so much. I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name. I'm about to bring him some business. But anyway, we're shifting gears.
Yes.
Another hot topic in the news this week was the shooting. The unfortunate shooting and death of the artist, 20-year-old Black man XXXTentacion. And I have to be honest about it, I didn't really know a whole lot about him before he was murdered this week.
I didn't either. Every time before this week, I had saw his picture, it was with, I guess, like all the other younger rappers. So I didn't, it was like between his face and be like, what's his name? 6ix9ine. And all of them would be in like one collage or something.
Okay.
So I never knew who he was as an artist, personally, anyways. I don't know what that means, because we're like older, but I never.
Well, I don't, you know, the little
like Pump
Yachty, Lil Pump.
Yeah, that's
all
just
the lil's. Like, I don't,
just out of our range.
Call me an old lady, but you're listening to Robert Glasper right now. And most of y'all probably don't know who he is. I'm old school.
And if
here.
You follow my Instagram, you see that my daughter listens to Lauryn Hill, and she sings it
that's
faithfully.
That's kind of it. Jill, Erica, Robert. Yeah,
we bring out like Nas's album. Did you listen to it once?
No.
No, sorry. I sent you the link for a reason.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I can't keep up. It's too much music.
Oh my gosh.
I just listened to Everything Is Love today for the first time.
Huh.
And
I know we're getting so off track, but what did you think of it?
I thought it was mediocre.
Okay.
I love me, you know.
Cause she does. This is the one who got up at what time was it?
2 a.m.
She said it last time, 2 o'clock, to watch Coachella.
I watched Beachella, the whole thing, and it was amazing. Thing.
And I'm still gonna see On the Run too. I haven't bought my tickets yet, but I'm going to because it's right down the street.
Okay.
But I was not impressed.
No.
And if you hear rumblings, those are our 5-year-olds running amok upstairs with all this open space. But it's not that I didn't know. I was talking about Beyonce. Beyonce, I love the lyrics are dope. You know, it's just an album for the times. It's real hip. You know, it's a lot of future sound and stuff.
She said Liddy a couple of times.
And I was just like, B, like, who are you?
Okay. So I said this the other time, that I'm not the most diehard Beyonce fan. I was a diehard Beyonce fan back when it was like Dangerously in Love and like, what is it, Flaws and All? Because I could still listen to that song and it would still make me cry.
Anytime.
But I think that's the Beyonce that I've been wanting to come back for so long.
Girl.
And she's going deeper away from that. Because I felt like that album was not her. Like, I love
this one?
Yes. Like, when I heard Jay, I was like, yeah. Like, I was with it every time Jay was.
Jay was actually, he was giving it to me.
Yes. Like, if it was just a Jay-Z album, I would have been cool. But I don't know. Please don't send us any messages that we are.
No, they can say what they want to say.
But
I love B. But I miss singing Beyonce.
Yes.
She don't sing no more.
Because I don't think, I heard one of those songs was written by Migos, like her lyrics.
It probably was.
Because it sounded very Migos.
Nice. Mm. And I was like, come on, you guys.
So yeah.
I just don't want them to merge over to the whole desperate side of things. It's almost like y'all are kind of starting to do some extra stuff just to stay relevant. And
it doesn't have to be that. Like, we appreciate you as an artist. Like, for who you were.
Thank you.
And we need that.
Let's stay true to who the true B is.
And if this is what Beyonce really is, and the Beyonce we had before was like the commercial stuff, cool. I guess we can adjust. I don't think Kay can adjust. But I would appreciate if this is just like fully her authentic self. Because we all evolve and change.
No. But we don't change and put up pictures in our lace thongs, Kim Kardashian. When I saw that, I was like, you don't have to do this. You are not Kim K. That was such a Kim K thing.
Well, I'm going to go to Miami next month. And if I take a picture and a thong,
no,
and I'm just.
You can do that. But I'm saying.
So I can do it, but Beyonce can't do it.
I was just like, you're Beyonce. You don't have to do stuff like this. But what was I was talking about XXXTentacion.
Sorry, we got off track.
My whole thing with this whole thing is, yes, there's a conversation about violence. Yes, there's the conversation about rap culture today. There's also the conversation about, you know, where we are, what we should be portraying in the media, how we should be, you know, use our platforms for good and not for evil. But my whole thing with this whole thing was, people were questioning whether or not we should say rest in peace to him based upon his interactions with his girlfriend
and
in the
his
past.
Extensive criminal record.
Right. So what does that say? Does that say, you know, how do we judge a man by his character? How do we mourn or grieve a loss in the midst of whatever based upon who they were while they were living?
I think a loss is a loss, right? Mm-hmm. And even with a person going through what this young man was dealing with, or legally what he was going through, his life affected somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think some people on Instagram was just doing it for the likes. But I don't know. I think everybody deserves a rest in peace, right? Because nobody should live eternally the way they lived here on earth, right? You should be elevating when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, death should not be the end. Death is an elevation of yourself spiritually, if you believe that. Because every religion, in some aspects, has that kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think certain people should be glorified. And I don't know anything about him personally. I didn't look up his rap sheet. I didn't look up the thing that was going on with his girl and the kidnapping, whatever it was. All I saw was on the Shade Room. Shout out to the Shade Room, my bad.
That's where we get all our news.
Shade Room and Ball Alert.
Ball Alert.
World Star. But I'm just saying, I do think that he deserves respect in some aspect in death.
Now, I agree with you.
Now, if that girl that he did that to obviously might hold some hostility, some emotions, that's her emotions to own, right?
Yeah. Here's my thing. It all comes back to legacy. Like, if we talk about anybody who's being marked negatively in the media right now, any black man. And I believe he wasn't just black. He was Latino, too.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, when I first looked at him, I thought he was a little black boy. But my whole thing is, look, he's dead. He's gone. We don't really know what happened with his girlfriend. I think there were pictures that surfaced, but he was still undergoing those charges. Nothing was, you know, he's still technically
innocent. Did you ever see his music video when he hangs the white kid?
No, but I heard about it.
Yo, that video is so deep. Like, it gave me a weird emotion that I didn't expect.
He hung a white kid?
He hung a white child.
Like race reversal?
Yes. And it was like a lynching, because there was a little other black kid that was watching this white boy get lynched.
Oh my.
And I think that's probably one of the deepest videos I've seen in a while. Just really? That part, because I didn't know how to take it. Mm. I still don't know how to take it. Like, you know, people's like, if we go out and kill a white person, we'll feel like we got something back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that way. I was like, oh, so we out here lynching children on a music video?
Ooh,
that's kind of deep. Yeah, so I've heard that his music had, I guess, transcended, and he was changing and evolving. So, I mean, I have never listened to a song, but I would, just to see who he is or what he was becoming.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to also be one of these people who act like now they're a fan that I've seen all on Instagram. It's like, rest in peace. And I'm like, weren't you just talking crap about mumble rappers 10 minutes ago?
Like, is he a mumble rapper?
I don't know. I just kind of put them all in that category because they all look like.
Because they got the face tats.
The face tats, the whole hair thing.
The hair thing. Was he with 6ix9ine?
I don't know, but he did write 6ix9ine did write something on a post on the.
Yeah, something about turning over a new leaf.
And now he realized he was a
Yeah, I get. No, something. No, because now he probably scared to get shot after he saw somebody.
As he should
shot.
Be. Like,
after all the stuff he's been posting.
Nothing that you play around with. Right. Death is nothing to play around with.
Right. I don't think it's fair. We don't know what he did to that girl. And it sounds like I'm defending physical abuse, but we don't know what he did to that girl. We don't know if he even did it. So to sit here and talk about what's alleged in his death, I feel like it's blasphemous almost. It's not fair.
That's true.
What's his legacy going to be?
I agree. So what do you think about this comparison, right? Because I've seen it on Instagram, and I've been very cautious lately since we started this podcast to not respond to things.
Okay.
So someone had made a post, someone I think I went to college with, whatever, and it said,
I'm just kidding.
I don't remember who it is, but if you don't know me, I think Malcolm X and Tupac Shakur are two of the greatest black men, greatest men to ever walk this face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, someone actually used those two men, which caused me great concern, and said, if Malcolm X, or Malcolm Little at the moment, would have died at 20, and if Tupac Shakur would have died, like he wasn't that much older than what he was, but 20, what would we have said then? And I'm not going to act like it didn't make me think. Like, it did make me pause. It did make me take a step back. And I thought, okay, at 20, Malcolm X was a pimp. He was abusive. He didn't really be abusive towards women, but as in general, he was very violent. He was in prison. He did a lot of things that were not right. So if he would have died at 20, what would people have said? And I just don't think that's a fair comparison. Like, I understand where the comparison is coming from, but I don't think you can take that as legit. Like, you just can't, because Malcolm X didn't die at 20. He didn't die at 20.
So why?
He fought for the cause of black people, right? He did change his life. And I understand that this rapper didn't have a chance to do that. But you can't now, I guess, degrade and bring down one of the most important legends in the Black community to that to make a point.
Yeah. I don't even know how that comparison came up. Is it because XXX was moving towards that? I know he was trying to do more things in the community, like he was doing community drives and raising money and food drives and whatnot.
So yeah, but I don't know. They're saying the same thing about Tupac, how Tupac had, you know, went to court because supposedly he raped the girl, which he obviously did not do, and because of the bar fight. There was a whole lot of things that they're trying to say that if Pac would have died before he did, would that still stand? But I don't think people give, like, I don't, like, I always say I don't really know this rapper, but like before Pac died, that man was a living legend. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't like some guy that died and we didn't know who he was, we wasn't necessarily familiar with his music. Tupac Shakur was Tupac Shakur, and he had been Tupac Shakur for a very long time.
Right.
Don't demean who that man is in any aspect. Mm-hmm. When it comes to me, because mm-hmm. I think he's one of the greatest men to ever walk this earth.
I just wish sometime everything don't have to be that deep. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just stop. He's dead. Leave it at that.
Be remorseful. Understanding. Be caring for his family.
Pray for his family.
Right.
If you're close to him, support him, and that's it. Why do we always have to take?
And
it
seems like Black people always want to defend something. Like, why do we always have to be on Instagram and Snapchat trying to defend something? All right. Cool. We get it. All Black people at this point don't think the same. Beautiful. Whatever. But we don't have to always try and prove a point. I think I posted something like that.
I think
you
did, yeah.
Because let me tell you how I'm so sick of Black people. Like, someone had wrote a Jadenna, and I love Jadenna with everything.
I know you love him.
I do.
He's kind of been kind of quiet lately.
And no. He wrote the other day about how he wished Black people weren't so woke, or if you are so woke, you need to something. And it kind of set me off because I am so sick of this term woke, and anyone who uses it is not woke. I'm sorry. Like, no one in the conscious Black community uses the word woke
on a consistent basis.
Like, sorry, like, Childish gave y'all a term and y'all have ran with it. No one uses sing it again, baby. And no one uses the term, but it just got on my nerves that Black people are demeaning Black people who have done something for you. Like,
right.
How can you actually say that you're sick of woke people, conscious people, hotep people? Right? And they say it like it's a bad thing. Like, do you not know what that word means? Like, please Google what that word means before you say something ignorant. Because I'm sick of you Black people sounding ignorant because you want to talk about your own people. I'm sorry. I'm all off track.
There is no track. We just go on with the flow.
I'm sorry, but that really bothers me because Black people, we don't stick up for ourselves. We don't even love ourselves most of the time. When was the last time you did something for the Black community? Think about that. When was the last time?
Right now, because I'm recording this podcast.
I do it daily. I live my life in that way.
Every single day, she contributes to the young, to the youth.
Yep. I'm not going to tell you where because you don't need to know. But every day.
This is kind of stemming from this abuse narrative.
Mm.
And this week, our boy, well, I used to be in love when I was younger with Jamie Foxx, right?
What did Jamie do?
So it was alleged this week that Jamie Foxx in 2002 slapped a woman across the face with his penis.
What?
Hashtag Me Too. The movement strikes again.
Hold on.
2002.
I'm sorry. Look, I want to apologize. This never was supposed to be a show that we talk about like celebrities and stuff. We're just going with this today.
No, this is circling all back.
This is my thing. I'm confused because, hold on. So if he slapped you with his penis.
Across the face.
So y'all were engaged. You had to be engaged in some sexual activity. Like, he ain't just whipping out.
She said that she was... She didn't ask to be slapped across the face.
Were they having intercourse?
I don't think that was noted that they were. From what I understood, they were at the same location.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm just trying to figure out, how'd your face get that close to my dick?
In 2002.
How did your face get that close to my dick? I understand, like, I should hear, like, rape. Or I should hear, like,
No, it was none of that. It wasn't even that.
It was just...
It wasn't even that.
So, men, And I had this conversation with my students like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
We were watching Higher Learning.
Okay.
And do you remember the part in Higher Learning when the girl gets raped?
Yes.
After she originally consented mm-hmm. to it.
Yes, I remember.
So we had the long conversation on what is rape in my class. And
oh.
No, yeah, real deep.
Okay.
And we came to I had to teach them, like, you have to ask a woman for every single part of a sexual act. And they were like, no, I don't. If she tell me she with it, she with it. And I'm like, baby, this is how y'all get locked up.
Mm.
This is how you get locked up. So now I'm thinking, does every time a guy wants to get his, he gotta be like, cannot. That's just too much. That's a lot of ask. That's
in today's climate. You better ask every step of the way. This is a shame.
Because I'm trying to figure out how you get so close to him like that. And he's...
Because I can talk about this all day long. The Me Too movement.
Oh, she really can. I'm going to let her talk, too.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Did you see the video with Morgan Freeman about the girl when she...
I didn't watch the video. I heard... I was at work. I posted something about this on my IG. I was at work, minding my own business in my queue. And this lady behind me, Caucasian woman, says, oh no, not another one. And I was like, what is this? I'm just so shocked. I'm just so shocked. And then the other liberal Caucasian woman in my cube area says, oh no, so-and-so, I'm not gonna say her name, what's wrong? She says, I was such a fan of Morgan Freeman, and he's another one now. You know what I'm talking about. And I just started Googling.
And it was like, I just started to Google.
I didn't even say anything, because I get so, I can't stand them anyway. But then, I was such a fan of Morgan Freeman. Like, were you 47-year-old Caucasian woman? Name three movies that he's been in right now. Another One Bites the Dust. Like, oh girl, how old is Morgan Freeman? 80?
He's everybody's grandpa.
How old is
but
he?
But I watched the video, and quite honestly, and I'm going to use my own Jasmine words, he pretty much told her, your skirt is too short, and if you want me to see your parts, I'ma look. Because, and I would
That's
say-
That's what he said?
In so many words, because like she was sitting down and they were having an interview, and her dress was, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about a woman's attire. You can wear what you want. But if you're having an interview and a man tells you, hey, I can see your stuff, so if you want me to look, I'm a light, you know? And the lady was like, haha, okay. And she like, I guess, I thought that was kind of respectful. Like, I'm telling you, I can see your coochie. So you might want to
cover
your
legs.
Yeah.
So that's where all this started?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought she said she was like touched.
No, not from the video I saw.
This is ridiculous. This is absurd.
So
number one, I can't even keep up.
We're gonna review that. I swear that's all I saw.
And because the thing
eventually
is,
eventually we're gonna go live, so you guys can like make comments, because we would love to know what you guys know about these topics.
But the thing is, he immediately apologized, which he should not have done. I can't stand it when people in the media apologize for stuff. You don't have to apologize for anything.
You have to.
If you apologize,
then you lose endorsements.
That means you're self-incriminating. If
but
you
they
apologize,
don't care. Most of these people don't go to courts anyway. They just lose endorsements.
The black man, the black man goes to court. The white man doesn't.
Didn't they just arrest that Harvey guy? Is he still in jail? That Harvey
Weinstein?
Yeah, the one who started all this.
I think he's undergoing trial right now. I think he was just, there were just so many women against him. They had no choice but to take him in. But you got, what's his name? Sheen over here infecting people with HIV.
Charlie Sheen?
Mm-hmm.
He out here doing
it? He out here in the streets. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Ain't nobody taking him to a courtroom. And then you got poor little Bill over here. Poor little Bill.
Kayla rides for Bill.
I love, because I never knew about Bill Cosby. He's everybody's dad. Honorary dad.
She loves Bill.
I can recall nights just watching marathons at my house with my entire family.
I actually, I literally have separated myself from the Bill Cosby thing because I really don't know.
What?
I really don't know. Okay, so this is my thing, right? I don't know if he, that's just a lot of girls, a lot of women to come out at one time for me. And so I'm not saying he did it because there's a lot of them. I'm saying that I'm confused because there is so many of them at one time. So that throws it off for me. But I really don't know what people be doing. And, you know, I don't know. But to me, I look at him and I'd be like, oh, I feel so sorry for him. I just don't understand.
He's 80 years old. By that alone. Is enough. He's 80. Leave him alone. He's about to die. Every time you see him in court, he looks worse and worse. He's losing sight. You okay, see, but the, what do we see do? After the last trial? He hit one of, he walked out of the
thing. He like hit a lean. But my thing is, what do we do with real sexual assault
abusers? I don't know.
Like, because that's why I believe it's like from women who are also assaulted sexually, half of them might go to court, and out of that half, maybe another half actually wins their suit, because it's always him versus her. Like, how do we handle that in society?
The best way to do it, I think, because this Me Too movement has blown so much BS in the midst of the women who actually need help, the best thing to do, I would say, is to take action immediately and not to wait. Because if you wait, then it seems like you're not telling the truth. But if you do it immediately, you can whistle.
What about women who never say anything? Or they like...
Here's my thing. Wait. If it happened to you in 2002, girl, don't nobody care now. You should have said something about it in 2000.
So I remember.
Call me. Say I'm harsh all you want.
You're harsh. But say that. I thought there was a statute of limitations on rape victims. Mm. I swore there was.
There probably is.
And I thought there was. So I think that he's not necessarily going because of that. I think it might be more of like the drugs part of it all.
I think that's what it is. The Quaaludes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everybody was using Quaaludes in the 70s.
Listen. I don't know.
It comes back to the legacy. That's what it's all about. Let's strip this man of all his degrees.
Ain't nobody buying how somebody could take it. First off, this is my problem with honorary degrees. If I'm sitting here busting my ass for one, why they just give you one? Girl, they just hand you one?
At my graduation that weekend, they gave out at least 6 honorary degrees. You know who got one on commencement morning?
Who?
Dr. Ben Carson.
I'm not kidding. We're not going to talk about the school you went to, but they lynched black people there for real. I mean, it kind of got his name.
No, I
know. So think about what schools are in Lynchburg, Virginia. Now, how you just go there? I just don't, like, and I
was all with it.
How did you feel?
Online.
How did you feel being there?
When I went to the campus, number one, we stayed in an Airbnb in Lynchburg.
Mm.
And that was the week after Bob Marley's, what was it, his niece? Granddaughter.
Oh, had the incident with an Airbnb.
It was the same week. So I told my family ahead of time, I was like, look, I love y'all. Whatever you do, go straight inside the house. Don't talk to no neighbors. I don't want no ruckus. Don't bring
no ruckus.
No liquor. You can bring wine, but that's it. I was so nervous. It's sad. I was really nervous that something was gonna go down.
I won't even go there.
I mean, that's the only time I've been. That's probably the only time I'll ever go.
No, I just won't go over there.
But being on the campus, I was kind of fine because it's huge. There was a lot of black people there.
I had a friend who went to that school, and he told me that when Obama was elected in 08, that someone made a fake Obama doll and put a noose around him on a tree. I was running the campus.
That doesn't surprise me more.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Those are the parts of Virginia that we don't claim.
Mm-mm. But the thing is, there's a lot of black people down there.
Really?
I was surprised. Yes. When we were kind of driving around the city, going back and forth from the Airbnb to the campus.
You know, it's because we can't move for real. We don't know how to separate ourselves
from our specific areas. Why can't we? This might sound really ignorant. I'm going to ask this question because I was watching that documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. Flint Hill on Netflix.
No.
This is total tangent, but... There's a documentary on Netflix. It's like a 9-part series or something. It's told from the perspective of the cops in Flint. And they talk about the water issues, of course, but it's more focused on crime. And they show how horrible of a city Flint is. Like, it's awful. There's no resources. There's no money. They don't even have enough cars for the police force to infiltrate the city. Like, it's awful. The police don't even have
the police don't even have the cash.
They don't even got the cash. And I was just sitting there, I was watching that, and then I was, you know, learning about some other stuff in different areas of the country where black people are just so oppressed. Mm. And I'm just like, why don't they leave? I know you know, like, I just feel like if I'm in Flint and they talk, there's black mothers on there sitting there talking about how their kids, they're showing their kids skin, the kids don't have any hair, their teeth are falling out because of all the lead in the water.
Mm.
I don't care what I have.
Mm.
I would pack up my stuff,
mm-hmm.
put my kids in my car. If I lose it all, I'll lose it all and find it again. There's no way I'm just going to sit there and just die. I don't know. Do we not have resilience? We don't have the education. We think we don't have any other resources.
Yes, all of these things. All of these things.
I think I can understand if you don't have family, you feel like you don't have anywhere to go, but...
I think a lot of black people, when they've been oppressed for so long, and systematic oppression is real, like mm-hmm. once that is ingrained inside of you, that's all you know. Mm-hmm. You don't even know how to not be oppressed. Like, I remember one of my students, they went on a trip to Delaware. That was his first time leaving DC at 18. And he was like, "Ms. Gross, that's a whole different world out there.
In Delaware." Like, I'm
in Delaware, less than an hour away. And I, it's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. I get, like, I think the government has done the thing with black people where they have made us comfortable in our condition.
Mm-hmm.
We're comfortable. We have jobs. We have cars. We have enough food where we can eat and we can sleep and mm-hmm. we can get up and do the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drive for us to do anything else, because if you drive, you could possibly lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no point in fighting the government. So I think it's the same thing. Like, in Flint, they've been so oppressed now that where are they gonna go? Most of them don't finish high school. They don't have jobs. How do you even apply for a new job outside of Flint, Michigan? How do you even know? Right? You gotta think about, do you have access to a computer? Need a computer to apply for a new job. How do you, like, it's like the basic stuff
mm-hmm.
that they don't even have to even better themselves. Unless you get on a bus and just
go.
Know what you want to do when you get there. It's so hard.
It's so hard.
But then it makes you see how resilient we used to be. Because our people did it before. Yes. Like, we did it. We left the South. We came up North with nothing. We made it work.
Yeah.
Immigrants do it all the time.
Yeah.
They come to America. They find some place to live. They rent a room. Something.
Yeah.
They work it off.
Until they figure it out.
And they figure it out. But we've lost that grind.
That's my point. That's
we don't have point. It. We're too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you try to, you're too worried about how people are going to look at you. Because, oh my God, you don't have money. You don't have this. You don't have that. F it. You're trying to make something better out of yourself.
I was just thinking about those poor babies. I was like, there's no way I'm going to sit here and let my kid just literally rot from the inside.
No way.
There's no way.
That's so sad.
But if you have the gall to sit and watch the documentary, it's actually really interesting. It's kind of biased because of the police, but if you look at the environment, I don't know, it's really interesting. Because the problem still exists, just nobody's talking about it. But that kind of transitions.
So used to not talking about issues that we're having.
Speaking of issues, we can talk about this lawsuit.
Man. So currently there is a lawsuit being filed against the District of Columbia due to gentrification of black neighborhoods or the whole district. And it's very interesting because if you've ever traveled to DC, if you live in DC, black people are at a consistent rate being pushed out of DC. DC used to be known as Chocolate City for a reason. These black people were not just confined towards 7 and 8 in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where 80% of black people live now who live in DC. Well, 7 and 8. If you are unfamiliar, that is typically Southeast DC and Northeast DC on the other side of the water. It's really sad. Like, to even think about it, I lived in DC for 2 years and I moved. And that's sad that I left, because it was like, one, you don't want to live somewhere that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if it's not, you can't afford it. Like, you'll pass the highway, you'll see these nice, cute apartments. These apartments are going for about $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
First off, if you have money to pay $3,000 for an apartment, baby, you're not living your best life, because you need to be out there owning your own home.
Right.
But they are constantly taking down black neighborhoods, gentrifying them. We can't live there. If you know anything about Trinidad, they're doing that in Trinidad. Like, yeah. I saw a white person jogging in Trinidad the other day. And I said, what is happening? And I'm not saying white people can't live in DC. I am not saying that at all. What I'm saying is these banks, these corporations are building homes. And they're doing it on purpose so black people can't live there.
They're calling the people that they're trying to attract, they're calling them the creative minds, right? They don't call them whites. They call them the creative professionals. They're talking about IT professionals, developers,
kids who are kind of not straight out of school, but they're, you know, getting established. The millennial. The young.
Us.
The young, our witty millennial. But they're not calling them that.
White people.
They're just calling them the creatives.
So, if you, any, I don't know, I don't like to use names of newspapers, I can't remember, but there was a newspaper article where they had said the face of DC, and throughout the whole article was only white people in DC.
Right.
And that's how they see it, though. Mm-hmm. They see DC now as that they own it. Mm-hmm. This is their space. And I don't understand how. It's the opposite of white flight to me. Mm-hmm. Like, at a part of time, they moved all black people into these cities. They moved us all into these projects and these ghettos so they can, one, control us, two, have us all in one area. And now it's kind of like, oh, well, we want it back.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Now we see the value of it.
No, go back
is.
To where you were.
Mm-mm.
Stay where you are. And if you're going to make gentrification, help those that need
it. No. No, that's not part of the Jasmine.
I understand that's not what gentrification is. But I want black people who have the resources to help.
I thought you were talking
about
the government. No,
the government does not want us. The government continues to push us out, or they put us in public housing in Section 8, so black women and families are separated. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about Section 8. Please understand that you cannot have a man living in your home.
No, you cannot.
If you're on Section 8, you will lose your housing. So that's also systematically destroying the black family, because once a black man is involved, oh, hell no.
Strong black family unit?
Together? What?
Two parents living in the same household?
Damn.
We can't have that.
Not ever. So if you don't know anything about the legal system and the government and about the development of projects, why are they have projects? Maybe they should think about it. I just want black people to, like, research.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. So easy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can literally find out anything that might interest you. But they've taught you not to even want to pick up a book.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a basketball.
But that's where you're going to end up in the NBA. But the lawsuit...
How many people get recruited into the NBA a year?
I don't know the stats.
It's not a lot.
I'm not even going to pretend like
it's not a lot. Basketball teams can only have a starting five. Remember. Because you be...
There's more than five people on the roster.
I know, but you be on the bench. I mean, you might be living comfortable, but you're like... I just want black people and black kids to realize that there's other way out. Except for a ball. Use your mind, damn it.
But they've taught you not to use your mind.
Reading a book is lame. Writing is lame. The only thing that they care about now is IG, sports, girls, boys. That's it.
Acrylics.
Oh, yeah.
Eyebrows.
What is it? Coffin nails? That's the joint now, right?
Well, that's what I have on my hands.
Hey, they look cute, though. You have a whole job. These girls worried about weave at six.
Nah, you're right. You're right. And that's why we have to train our daughters otherwise.
Yes, because Amaya came home one day and asked me if she could get braids with weave in her hair.
Oh, no, she didn't.
She did, because one of the little girls in her class had it.
Five.
That's a little girl ridiculous. In her class had weave in her hair already.
What's wrong with her hair?
But then Amaya was like, well, mommy, you have weave in your hair because you wear braids. I said, look, first off, my daughter is the reason why. If you don't know, she's the reason why I went natural anyway. Because when she wanted to straighten her hair like me, I stopped straightening my hair at that very moment.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I stopped straightening my hair almost a year ago, because when she told me she wanted to have the long flowy hair, I'm like, no, you don't need that. She's like, well, why do you have it? Oh. And it caught me in my tracks, and I have not straightened my hair since.
Go ahead, mommy.
Mom goals. But it's we don't care about ourselves enough.
I think this lawsuit is interesting, because when I first heard about it, I was like, wait, you can do that? It's like, wait, y'all can do that?
If they can sue us, why can't we sue them? If it could be like Virginia versus whatever. If you can sue, if I can,
you're right.
Why can't I sue them back?
I forgot what the number was attached to this. It was like it was billions of dollars.
I can't even look it up right now.
I think it's gonna be interesting to see what happens and if this sparks a trend in other areas, because it's more than just DC.
It's a lot more than DC, and I just need people to realize . A 2-bedroom apartment in DC right now is going for like $1,600. And
if you buy a home in PG County, $275,000 or so, in that range, $260,000, $280,000, your mortgage will be about $1,600, $1,700.
But we all know how to buy homes, because most of us don't own them.
But you can own them. You can. It's so simple.
But I don't think we even know how to go through.
The only, you know what it comes down to? One word.
Credit.
Credit. You got good credit, you got a home. That's it.
Yeah, someone told me that before. They was like, if you can have over a 620 and you have a job.
620 is a little low.
No, I'm saying that's when you can start at least.
You're going to think. Somebody will approve you for a loan. Your interest rate will be high. But 620, 680 is kind of like the number that they look for. But even anywhere in that range, if you're in the 600s, you're doing okay. I remember I got. A year ago, before I really started doing this, I asked somebody to run my credit for a loan approval. And I got a decent amount. I got a little shum. He was like, you got to get it up to like the 660, 680 range. And okay. I did. I got it in the sevens.
But good job.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. But you can do it. Stop buying these apartments, renting these apartments for years on end. You don't get any return. You don't get any tax write-offs. You don't get any.
I'm going to buy a house, y'all. Give me a year.
I'm going to help you. It's so easy.
Give me a year.
It's really easy. All you need is a loan officer and a decent realtor. And that's it. And Trulia. That's all you need.
I just got to pay off these credit cards.
That's it.
But they
you have to pay all of them off.
They ain't that much. I'm just lazy. I just be like, oh, minimum, bam. I'm a pocket direct, minimum, bam. So that's the mentality that black people have, though. They be like, oh, I only got to pay this much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay this much. But we don't teach financial literacy and family.
We don't. And
my dad attempted, and I paid him no attention. And I will call him now. I'd be like, Daddy, I'm so sorry that I did not listen to you. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Mm-hmm. Because
if I knew now what I knew, if I knew 10 years ago what I know now, oh please, I'd own 2-3 houses by now.
But we don't learn that stuff, though.
Nobody teaches us. It's kind of just like you fall into it. You might meet one person who knows, and they kind of give you a little info. Then you do some Googling.
And then the info they gave you is kind of like sometimes it could be over your head because you don't know.
Yeah.
And you'd be like,
ugh. To use terminology you're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it's so easy.
I follow this realtor online. He's really cute.
Here you go.
Sidebar.
But it's really easy. We need to do a show on that too. It's so easy.
If anyone who is listening knows anything about real estate and development and credit and loans, we would love to have you on the show. We would.
We don't even need anybody. I can teach the class.
I mean, she did buy a house for 45 days. So she probably be like, so you gotta have this and this and this.
Just
and
remember, it's all about credit and start saving for your down payment. And then the thing is, Maryland has state programs, so you don't even have to put any money down if your credit's good.
I've heard of that.
Because
I was talking to a guy.
Not just Maryland.
I was talking to a guy the other day. He was like, you're a whole... You work in the education system. We give out down payments to y'all.
Yes.
I'm like, a sister ain't trying to live in D.C., though.
No, you don't have to live in D.C.
For that one, you did.
But they have it out here. And they have it for students. If you have student loan debt higher than $25,000,
which is me,
then you qualify for a whole different program.
Girl, I just got my loan deferred. That was like a blessing. When I got that email, it said your deferment has been approved.
Oh, that's right, because you're in school now.
I did one of these. I was like, $400 back in my bank account.
I know, I got 5 months, and they're going to come knocking on my door.
Dang.
I was like, I need to find another stream of income.
Just go back to school. All you got to do is take one class, two classes at a time.
She's like mid to late 30s now. She has never stopped going to school. She was like, girl, I take a class here, a class there.
Yep.
Defer.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got six digits worth of
debt. Damn. I'm trying to think of how much I have. I had 30 before I started grad school.
What?
Yeah. Why? How much did
That's kind of a lot.
30,000? Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I can't let it go.
Nah, I mean,
how much did you have? Were you in safe for... Yeah. Really?
For Liberty?
No, for Mason.
Yeah, I was in Virginia then.
You done paid off a lot more of your loan than I did. The funny thing is,
I just finished grad school.
So. I should have put that all in Daddy's name. Because that. He
paid. He let you do that?
He did the first 2 years in his name, and the second two were in mine.
That was fair.
And
he
paid it off completely.
So can he pay yours off?
That's
too?
What I'm saying.
Come on,
can we exchange loans? Because now that he's retired.
Daddy G.
Now that he's retired, he doesn't have to pay anything at all.
Right.
So, there's this book that I've been reading.
Mm-hmm.
And if y'all don't know, I just said that they put, like, you should read. But if you don't read, pick up a book. Pick up a magazine.
If you don't know how to read,
call me. I will help you, I promise. I do it for a living. But there's this book that I've been reading, and it's really meaningful. And if you know anything about me, I put a lot of quotes on Instagram, and I will promise you about 90% of my quotes come from Iyan Le Van Zandt. I love this lady. Like, I watch her show all the time. I just think because everyone needs to be healed. And I hate that people feel like their emotions are just baggage. Yeah, it's baggage, but you need to unpack it. Mm-hmm. So, I'm reading this book right now. It's called In the Meantime. And it is literally, like, I read this book the other day, and I was in tears.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Like, I wish I had it with me. It's probably, like, deep in my purse somewhere. But it's the most thought-provoking book that I've read in a really long time. And what it is for women who feel as though they're not good enough because the world has kind of, they feel as though the world's given up on them. Like, relationships, jobs, family, friends. And it's like, what do you do while you're waiting for your life to come together? What do you do while you're waiting for that love of your life to come? What do you do while you're waiting for that dream job? And I read the first chapter, like, last week. And she says I'm gonna identify some quotes from her, because she has made me feel as though that I have worth. And you lose self-worth. Like, people think, because I have a good job and I'm really nice, that I am
okay,
right? Yeah. It's something simple as okay. Mm-hmm. But, like, 15% of the time, I'm be like out of it.
Yeah.
Like, out of it. So I started working out after I started reading that book. Damn. That book inspired me, on top of my trainer. Shout out to Phil.
Come on, Phil.
He's getting my life all the way together. So besides that, it's kind of, it just makes you feel as though that, enjoy the wait. Enjoy this space. Like, stop rushing life to happen. Because once it happens, you might not even be ready for it to happen. Mm-hmm. Enjoy who you are. Don't forget that. I'm not going to sit here and be like Charlamagne and give, like, a closing. But, even though I love Charlamagne to God, that's my man.
He has a new show.
I heard on HBO.
It's called The Gray Space or something like that.
I think Charlamagne's pretty dope. But I am going to, I'm going to put the book on the Instagram. And if you follow our website, our website is the same, intellectualsocietypodcast.com. I'm going to put some of her quotes up there because they're really good. Oh, are we going? We're going to listen to this now.
We're just going to shift gears before we close.
Oh, is this like one of the good songs on that album?
I think so.
Okay. Is Beyonce going to try to sue us for this?
Boss. look, I don't like the whole album, but this is
I don't need B trying to, you know how B is with NDAs and don't talk to me.
But here's what it comes down to. In the midst of all this crazy world that we live in the midst of us trying to understand what our worth is, we're trying to educate ourselves and uplift black families and come together as a diaspora. On the week of Juneteenth.
Yes.
A day to celebrate.
Yes.
You know, we got to put the hate aside.
Let's celebrate ourselves.
Right.
You know, I've never been one to celebrate 4th of July like that. Celebrate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, learn your own history. Stop with this European culture crap every 5 seconds. If you know why you celebrate the 4th of July, baby, your people were slaves in 1776. Right. Get it together. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've never read What to a Slave is 4th of July by Frederick Douglass, get your life. Mm-hmm.
What's the book one more time, Jasmine?
Which one? Say that again? Mm-hmm. What to a Slave is the 4th of July. It's a whole speech that Frederick Douglass gave in front of a group of white people on July 5th. Can't remember the year, though. Mm. Can't remember the year. And his whole speech is about, why the hell did you ask me to come speak when my people are still in chains? Why? What am I doing for you? Like, am I a token for you? Like, what is the point of you having me speak today when my people are still locked up, getting beaten, abused, and separated from their families? Please, please, if you've never read it, grab a book.
Okay.
You can probably Google it. It's a PDF, will pop up on the internet. There's no excuse. Y'all got computers.
Come on.
Y'all got iPhones, Androids.
So. Jasmine is the resident educator.
Sorry.
She will be doing book reviews for every episode, just because this is the intellectual society. We're here to grow and inspire and uplift, and we're trying to do every, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to do everything in love. Isn't that right? Come on, B, sing it for us. Hey.
I don't have anything to do with this.
But my mama will.
I'm a J. Cole fan.
Oh,
and
here
I'm
we
a
go.
Nas fan. And she's sleeping on KOD.
No. I listened. Okay.
She needs to get it together, but she slept on KOD. And she needs to get together and listen to this good Nas joint, because she tripping.
Well, that's it. Episode 2. We'll be back soon. It will not be this. It will not be such a long wait.
We will not let life happen.
We will not let it happen. We do everything in love. We love you.
This is not going to be our ending every day in love. This is for today and for today only. We will be quoting Nas next week.
Okay.
Bye. Peace.